Thank all of you for coming today evening, and I'll speak on the holy name, and I'll use one metaphor here which we will develop in this class and in the evening talk also. When a plane is moving, say a plane is moving from LA to New York, so the plane doesn't move straight. The plane often gets diverted because of the air pressure, because of its own momentum, because of atmospheric turbulences. And yet, each time it is reoriented. Sometimes the pilot does it mechanically, and sometimes, based on the destination, the autopilot itself works to reorient. And in some cases, the plane may be more than 90% of the time off track. But it is the constant reorientation that gets the plane on track. Now, if we were looking on a moment-to-moment basis, whether the plane is going towards the destination or not, we may feel that the plane is not moving much towards the destination. But because of the constant reorientation, it eventually gets to the destination. So the process of spiritual growth, especially centered on Bhakti Yoga, is similar. We want to connect with Krishna. So we are here, so that is say LA, New York is the destination, that is say Krishna. And we want to take our consciousness from here, from where we are, to Krishna. That may be just by taking darshan of the deities, that may be by hearing the holy name, that may be by studying the scriptures or hearing classes based on the scriptures. In this process, what we are trying to do is connect our consciousness with Krishna. And essentially, in spiritual life, connection with Krishna is a process of continuous reconnection. So we connect with Krishna, we get disconnected and we reconnect. We get disconnected, we reconnect. Yato yato nishchalati manas chanchalam astiram tatastato niyamyaitad atmanya eva vashamnayet. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita in the 6th chapter, 26th verse, that yato yato nishchalati, wherever and whenever the mind wanders, manas chanchalam astiram. That is the nature of the mind. It will be restless and it will be unsteady. Tatastato niyamyaitat. Therefore, from whenever it wanders, regulated again, disciplined again. And disciplining it, atmanya eva vasham nayet. Bring it under the control of the self. Focus it. So this process of disconnection and reconnection actually happens continuously. So for example, right now, when you are hearing me speak, our consciousness is capable of being aware of many things at the same time. Not fully focused, but say for example, you are hearing me. But at the same time, you may sense, okay, somebody is walking, maybe a vehicle is there in the background, the vehicle is moving. Or we have five different senses, and through those senses we may be getting different stimuli. And not only five different senses, we may be hearing something, maybe smelling something, maybe we are sitting on the floor, maybe the floor, the seat is soft or it is hard, we are touching something. So all these senses are giving us stimuli. And not only are the senses giving us stimuli, apart from that, our mind is capable of perceiving things which are not even perceived by the senses. So today's whole seminar, now in the evening, it will not be so much directly on the holy name. It will be on our consciousness and then how the holy name helps us to connect our consciousness with Krishna. Because most of us have heard a lot about the glories of the holy name. And it's important to hear. But along with that, it's like, I want to go to New York. New York is a wonderful place which I want to visit. First thing is I have to be convinced that I want to go to New York. So like that, I want to connect with Krishna's holy name. I want to absorb myself in Krishna. Krishna's name is so glorious. It can free us from all sinful reactions. It can grant us love for Krishna. It is non-different from Krishna himself. These glories we have heard many times. And we can hear them also. So, but today the focus will be slightly different. That it's not that I want to go to New York. For that I need to know how wonderful New York is and I want to go there. Like that I want to connect with Krishna. For that I need to know about the glory of the holy name. Along with that is a process. That is, I have to buy a flight ticket and board a plane and the plane will go to New York. So today we'll focus on the process. And this process involves our consciousness. So through the consciousness, once I understand I want to connect with Krishna, but how does my consciousness actually work? And then how can I focus the consciousness on Krishna? So our consciousness perceives something in the foreground, but along with that, it is perceiving many things in the background. So right now, say you are hearing me speak, but as I said, some noise in the background is there, some sensation of where you are sitting is there, maybe some smell or fragrance is there. So there are all these sensations coming into our mind. And along with that, the mind has its own thoughts and desires, which are also going on. So if we compare this with a security computer, say if there is a major like Pentagon or some other very high security establishment is there, and they have say 5 gates to enter into it, and there is a main security control center where the security cameras that are placed near all the 5 gates, they come together. And see, this person, the person who is the security head, they have one big monitor on which there are 5 sections. And what is happening in the 5 windows, or what is happening at the 5 gates, is being displayed over there. And then they're looking at all of it, and if they see some kind of suspicious character somewhere, then immediately click on the button, click on that particular monitor, zoom. That particular monitor expands. What is happening over here? So our consciousness works like that. As there, not just 5, there are many windows which are open in our consciousness. And at each moment, actually, we are zooming on something. So for example, I'm speaking right now. So while I'm speaking, I'm doing many things. I'm thinking of what I'm going to speak. I'm at a subconscious level, maybe moving my gestures in a particular way. I'm looking at all of you to see whether what I'm speaking is making sense to you or not. So now we're doing all these things like that. All of us, our consciousness is doing many things at the same time. Now how does it happen? That all those windows are there, which are open. And we're perceiving. And then at each moment, we choose which of the window to focus on. So if they say the left gate, the left first gate, something suspicious is there. So immediately that zooms up and you focus. Oh, this is there. Then at the right gate, something is there. You go and focus over there. Watch over there. So based on what is considered important, that window gets zoomed up. And then when it zooms up, that's what occupies the screen. And all others get, they may be there, but they get minimized when this gets zoomed, maximized. So like that, this feature of windows zooming or maximizing and windows minimizing, that is continuously happening in our consciousness. So when we are, say, practicing the chanting of the holy names, at that time, we want the window of the holy name to be maximized. Now we start off chanting, yes, I want to be attentive now. Today I am going to chant attentively. So, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Ram Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So
as we are doing this, what is happening? The other windows are trying to zoom out.
No.
So, what happens? Our mind is so restless that, say, if there is a computer in which not only there are windows which are popping up, but just like sometimes the computer gives us some prompts. No? Would you like to some program? We have one window which is open, and there they give a pop-up. Now, do you want to go here? Do you want to go here? Do you want to read this? Do you want to watch this? Like after YouTube, you watch a video. Then what happens? There are many other suggested videos that come up. And surveys have shown that on YouTube, now when people are watching a video, quite often they spend less time watching the video and more on watching other videos. So nowadays, because people are so distracted, so sometimes they use distraction as a means to attention. How can distraction be a means to attention? I just came from a flight from Gainesville, from Jacksonville to here. So there, the airlines, they had these security announcements. So now, what they had done in the security announcements was, most people don't watch the security announcements. They have seen it 100 times. So while this person, this air hostess, was explaining, in the background something else was happening. So for example, she is explaining the announcement, and in the background, now there is a couple who are about to get married. So she is talking, and there is a woman over here, the man over here. And as she is talking, the man walks away. And the woman is looking, what is happening, why is he walking away like this? And each of the security instructions that they were showing something which is completely irrelevant in the background. So for example, if they are showing how to tie a seat belt, they showed that air hostess, she was sitting on top of an elephant. And there was a seat belt over there. Now there is no need. So the idea was, I was reading about this phenomena, that because there is so much distraction that people, especially when they feel that something is repetitious, I've seen this many times. So then when we want attention, to get people to grab attention, you have to create some distraction for it. So we would normally think concentration is the way to attention. But in this case, distraction is the way to attention. Because you want people to see something, but have something else going on in the background. Now the question is, are they seeing what is happening in the background, or are they seeing what is happening here? But at least they are looking at it. I will come back to this principle later in our class about how we can use distraction in our process of bhakti also to increase attention. But right now, the point which I am making is that there are many windows that are open, and some windows open up automatically. And when this happens, automatically they prompt themselves. And when they prompt themselves, like on YouTube I was telling that, sometimes you complete one video, and if we don't make the setting right, then the next video starts automatically. Then we have to actually close the video. Only then it will not play, otherwise it will start playing, it will take our data while streaming. So like that in our mind, while we are observing one thing, a consciousness, we are focusing on one thing, there are other windows, you are not only open the background, but they are proposing this. Come on, see this, watch this, touch this, note this. And if we are not alert, which window will pop up, sometimes we can't predict it all. It just pops up. This pops up, that pops up, that pops up. And along with what we are perceiving with our senses, in the mind also, there are many images which are present. Now the mind, see, basically our attention can go by perception of what is coming in the senses, or an attention can go by recollection of what is there in the mind. I have remembered something from the past and I start thinking about that. So through sensory perception or through mental recollection, through both, our mind, our consciousness, I'm using the word mind and consciousness interchangeably, but I'll focus on the word consciousness here. our consciousness can go in various different directions.
And when we are practicing bhakti, especially when we are trying to concentrate on the holy name, say, and chanting, then it is inevitable that our consciousness will get distracted. Because we are focusing on one thing, but another window is opening up. Another window is zooming up. Another window is maximizing. So when this happens, we have to consciously turn it off. Turn it off. Close it, close it, close it. No. Or press the window if you want to open, and it zooms up again.
So I started by saying that connection is a process of repeated reconnection.
Just like a flight, when it is to go towards the destination, it goes off, come back, goes off, come back. So Krishna says, whenever and where the mind wanders, bring it back on the self. Bring it back under the control of the self. Focus it. So this kind of continuous distraction is going to happen. And if we expect that this distraction will not happen, that is an unrealistic expectation. The mind, by its very nature, is the center where the various stimuli come in.
So now, before I move forward, I wanted to do this in the evening class, but I will not be able to explain the points without having this background. So I'll repeat it maybe in the next class.
I'll try to first clarify what I mean by the terms the mind and consciousness, and then what does attention mean practically. So if I give the example of a security setup where there are 5 entrance points which come as 5 windows on the main on the computer, and there is a security head who is watching that big screen with multiple sections in it. So the 5 entrances to that building, they are like the 5 senses. And from the senses, the inputs come to the mind. So the mind is like the screen on which what is happening in the different, what information is coming in at the different senses is brought together. It is integrated. Shotram chakshuh sparshanam cha rasanam ghranam eva cha adhishthaya manaschayam vishayan upasevate. Krishna says that shotra, what is shotra? Shrotra, shravana, ears. Krishna is talking about the 5 senses. Chakshu is eyes. Yeah. Shotram chakshu sparshanam. Sparsha is tachya, skin. We all get input from that also. Rasanam, tongue. Ghranam, nose. So smell. So ghranam eva cha. So what happens is adhishthaya manaschayam. All of these are integrated around the mind. It's like a hand has 5 fingers, they're integrated around the palm. So like that, the inputs from the 5 senses come to the mind. So what we see with our sense eyes, it goes to the optic nerve, to the optic area of the brain, and from the optic area of the brain is a physical thing. The mind is not physical, it is subtle. It is presented to the mind. And then the soul is like the person, the security head who is observing the monitor. And then the person is observing, how do they observe? They look at it, their consciousness goes towards it. So consciousness is basically the stream of awareness that comes from the soul. It's like if we have a bulb over here, from the bulb a stream of light is coming out. So similarly, from the soul a stream of awareness comes out. Yatha prakashyatyekah krutsnam lokam imam ravi kshetram kshetritha krutsnam prakashyati bharata. Krishna says that in 30.34, that just as the sun is situated one place, but it spreads this illumination far and wide. Like that, the soul is situated in one place in the body. And from there, it spreads the awareness all around, to the body, and through the body to the outer world. So when we are trying to, now of course, from the light only goes one way. From there, the light comes, say, here, it goes in different directions. Our consciousness flows two ways. Consciousness flows outwards to perceive. And then it flows back inwards to make sense. So, I observe something, and after the observing, I make sense. What is happening over here? So now, of course, now what I am talking about in elaborate analysis, this can be elaborated even more, but the point is, all this happens very fast. It happens very, very fast. So, for example, if I am speaking something, and then I see that all the faces in the audience are blank, then I understand that no one is understanding. So now, all this happening instinctively. So, you know, when somebody makes a joke and we laugh, now how does it happen? Actually, we hear a joke, the sound comes in the ear and then it goes to the brain. And there is one moment we understand the joke. And that's when we laugh. Now sometimes, if a person makes a joke but nobody understands the joke, then there is a speaker who becomes a joke. Because nobody is getting it. So there is a particular moment when the comprehension happens. So, in India we say that if somebody doesn't understand, then late current. Late current means, what has happened is, that person has not understood. So, the consciousness flew outward, they heard it, but after hearing, it didn't make sense. So, now in the case of our... In the case of our perceptions, so when we are trying to chant the holy names, so there are these different sensory windows that are open, and we are trying to focus on the sound of the holy name, and other windows will keep opening, and we try to focus back again. So the place where it is all integrated, that is the mind. The soul is the seer, and the stream of awareness comes from the soul to the mind. So the soul is here, the mind is here, the body is here. And then beyond that, the objects are there. Say for example, right now, when you are hearing me or I am seeing you. So you are the soul, you are the mind is here, the body is here, and then your eyes are here, and then you are looking at me. So now, when the soul, the mind, and the body, the particular sense, all three of them are in line, at that time perception of the external object happens. Sometimes we are talking with someone and that person gets lost in some thought. Can you repeat what you said? Sometimes we ask like that. Or when we ask them, we say, somebody is, we are talking and we are not sure whether the person is hearing or not. You know, we see that the person is lost. And say, where are you? Come back. No, come to earth. The mind is, people have gone somewhere else. So what has happened? The soul is there, the body is there, the ears are there, but the mind is not there. So what Krishna is saying, when he is saying that wherever and whenever the mind wanders, bring it back under the control of the self. That means he is saying this mind will go off. The mind may go off internally through recollection, or it may go off externally to some other perception. Right now I focus on the mind going to some other perceptions. So there are these different windows that are there, and the mind may just go off to some other window. So we are chanting the holy names. Sometimes they are chanting, you know, some people, you know, they have what they call a radar japa. Radar means, you know, observing everything in the name. Everything in the room. They don't miss anything except the holy name. They're observing who is doing what, who is doing what is where. So the consciousness is like a radar, but it is focused on the window other than the intended window. So observing everything. So the sound is coming from the mouth, is going to the ears, but the consciousness is zoomed off. Oh, this person is sleeping. This person chanting well. Let's see how long he can keep chanting. This person, no, who is this person? I have not seen him before. This person, achha, after many days he has come over here. So, you know, we are observing, we are evaluating, we are commenting. All these things are happening in the mind. Now, this distractedness of the mind is very difficult to stop. it is going to be distracted. So what Krishna tells us? That when the mind gets distracted, bring it back under the control of the self. The disconnection will happen, but let reconnection also happen. The mind will stray away, but let it not stay away. It will stray away. We can't avoid that. Now, for this, going back to the plane example, if I want my plane to reach from LA to New York, what do I need to do? First of all, I need to know. New York is a place where I want to go. It's important for me to get there. And then first thing is, I have to have some compass by which, or some kind of parameter by which I at least become aware that I've got distracted. Otherwise, if, say, somehow the sensors of the plane stop working, the plane is moving, but then where the plane is going, nobody is aware. So the plane is just moving very fast, it's going off in a different direction. So there has to be, at least the first thing is, I have become distracted. Second is, I should not get distracted. And third is, how can I do course correction? How can I come back? So, in all living beings, there is awareness. We are aware, dogs are aware, cats are aware, microbes are also aware. All living beings, there is awareness. But only in the human body is the soul sufficiently evolved to have self-awareness. Self-awareness means awareness of awareness. All living beings get angry. If a dog is threatened, some dog feels that somebody is trespassing in my territory, the dog may get angry and start barking. Make a big scene, will bark loudly. And sometimes people, when they feel violated, they feel somebody has encroached into their territory, they may also shout. So, anger as an emotion is experienced by all living beings. But we human beings are capable of becoming aware of our awareness. That means, when I become angry, at one level I will act with anger, I will shout with anger. Another level I can also become aware, I become angry. I am getting angry now. That awareness that I am becoming angry is critical for me to check my anger. If I don't become aware only, I become angry now, then just get angry and I get carried away. And then afterwards, why did I speak like that? Why did I do like that? So this awareness of our awareness, what do I mean by awareness of our awareness? At one level, the awareness of our emotions, of our thoughts, of our desires. That is what I mean by awareness of our awareness. So, for example, sometimes some people are very pessimistic. Every suggestion we give, they immediately find problems with it. Why won't we do this? No, this will not work, this will not work, this will not work. What they don't realize is, yes, suggestions may not work, but that pessimistic mentality is never going to work. You keep finding faults with everything. Well, first of all, yes, if you're finding faults with everything, why don't you find fault with the fault-finding mentality? So, finding fault with everything is not going to lead to anything. Yes, that does not mean we uncritically accept everything. But that is not that we also accept everything as wrong. So sometimes if you tell someone, you are very pessimistic, you are very critical. I'm not critical. So if that person has a very strong sense of ego, they will justify. No, I'm not critical, I'm not pessimistic. See, I'm not pessimistic, I'm just realistic. No, I'm not critical. Actually, people are wrong, I'm simply pointing it out. They say, whatever. But if they have a certain capacity of self-reflection, am I really that critical? Am I really so pessimistic? Start thinking.
So here I have talked about two different things now. One is that we ourselves become aware. Oh, I am becoming angry. Or somebody else says, hey, you are very short-tempered. Oh, really? Am I short-tempered? I didn't think I am short-tempered. Let me think about it. So in both these cases, what has happened? We are becoming aware of our emotions, aware of the movements of our consciousness. And this awareness is important for us to correct ourselves. This awareness, now we are, for the flow of thought's sake, let's assume that it is correct. That we are short-tempered, and somebody, hey, you are short-tempered. So when I think about, oh, am I short-tempered? Okay. I got angry at that time. Could I have avoided getting angry? Or, sometimes what happens? Some people's anger is something which just goes on for a long time. Just, they are resentful, they are bitter, they are a pain to be with. But some other people, their anger just comes for a few moments. Few moments they just get extremely angry, and next moment it's over. So like in body pain, you say that sometimes there is shooting pain which comes and goes, and sometimes that pain stays, sometimes there is constant pain, like a nagging pain, it's always there. So now nagging pain is noticeable, shooting pain is also noticeable, but it comes and it goes. For some people's anger is like shooting anger. It comes, and when they are angry, they speak some things which can be very hurting for the other person. But after some time, they forgot also those spoke those things. For the other person, it has become like an unforgettable scar on the heart. And then you tell them, why have you spoken this? When did I speak it? What? It's like you cut apart my heart and you don't even remember that you cut apart my heart. How could you do this? So what happens is, when the shooting anger is there, then there are just a few moments when something negative is spoken. For the other person it is very hurting. But for this person, it is come and gone, it doesn't register in the awareness also. Just one or two harsh sentences are spoken and then it's over. So what happens is, we hear from someone else, oh, you're short-tempered, you spoke like that. Oh really, did I speak like that? Yeah, I should not have spoken like that. So through both these cases, through our personal introspection and through others' association, we are capable of self-awareness. We are capable of being aware, of becoming aware of where our awareness is going. Say, I have a short temper, or I have a pessimistic mentality. Same way, with respect to when we are trying to chant the holy names, when we get diverted, when we get distracted, we need to become aware that we are distracted. And that awareness, if that comes in time, then we can correct ourselves. If that awareness doesn't come in time, come on time only, then we may just continue uttering the mantra. And then one round, two round, three round, four round, whatever, just keep going on and on and on. After some time, realize, okay, hey, was I chanting? What was I doing? You don't even realize. So chanting is the time for the it should be the time for the greatest concentration. But it can become the time of the greatest distraction. Sometimes that is the time when we are most absent-minded. The time when we should be most present for Krishna, we can be the most absent. And when this happens, so one thing is we are getting distracted, but we are not even aware that we are getting distracted. Then it is very difficult to correct ourselves. But we are capable of self-awareness. So we human beings, animals will just experience their emotions and they will act on the emotions. They don't have the capacity to become aware of their awareness. That is a human capacity. Animals also have their moods. You know, different people have different pets. And you know, different pets also have different moods. So nowadays people love their dogs so much. So there is, like we have yoga, there is something called doga.
Doga is what? Yoga with your dog. So you do exercise and you have your dog also do exercise. And both of you do yoga together. I see there are thousands of people, there are proper doga teachers and doga courses. So you go to the yoga course and you take your dog also to yoga course. So both of you learn yoga together. That is doga. Now, I was saying this is that if, you know, if people have people have pets, they know that their pets also have moods. Now some pet is very cheerful, some dog is very cheerful, some dog is a little bit not so cheerful, some dogs are very noisy, whenever comes they bark. Some other dog, you know, whoever comes they don't bark only. So the dogs have different moods. So, but it's, we human beings also have moods, but we can become aware of our moodiness. Okay, I have become, this has been my mood, that is my mood. And this is how, should my mood be like this or should I be changing my mood? We can think of these things. And to the extent we think of these things, to that extent we can change ourselves. So, if you want to, so, thing that I am speaking on now is, connection means continuous reconnection. And for continuous reconnection, first there should be the awareness that there has been disconnection. And for disconnection, either there has to be, we have the capacity to become aware that I've got disconnected now. So then I have to reconnect myself. It's like sometimes I'm speaking. Some speakers are very systematic and structured. And some speakers just speak spontaneously. And they speak spontaneously, they are speaking wonderfully. But then, they themselves get lost. Okay, what was I speaking about? And sometimes what happens is, we start a class and if we are not very organized, then we ourselves lose track of what I was speaking. And then you start and look at the words and then look, how did I come here? It's like, you know, we started off, okay, this was a starting point. I started with this purport, but if you try to ask, how did you come from this point to where you are? Even I don't know. There was an author, he used to love writing very complex words. So it's Browning is him. So he is very complex sentences, complex poetry, complex prose. So one of his works was considered for winning an award. So then the committee which is supposed to decide whether he should get the award or not, they went through his work and they found one passage was very difficult. So they asked him, what does it mean? He read it and he read it again. And he read it again. And then he said, when I wrote this, God and I knew what it meant. Now only God knows. So sometimes it may well happen that we ourselves may say something, we ourselves may something, write something, but what was the thought process going behind that, we may lose track of that. So in speaking it can happen, in writing it can happen, and all the more so in thinking it can happen. So when we are trying to focus the mind on the holy name, at that time the mind gets distracted. And when it gets distracted, to become aware of the distraction is very important. Before we can concentrate, before we can actually get back on track. So what are the ways in which we can become aware of our distractedness? So practically speaking, when we chant, we say complete one round and then we pull a beat down. So just that is a change in activity. Now first just one finger is moving and the mouth is moving. But then, because after some time the finger moving and the mouth moving can become mechanical. So the finger is moving, the mouth is moving and the mind is also moving. But the mind is moving somewhere else. So what happens is, the two are on two separate tracks. But when we pull the beat down, okay, now I completed one round. Then that activity, if at that time you just take a deep breath. Okay, I'm chanting now and I've completed one round. Okay, but was I really concentrating? I should concentrate. So basically, within our japa itself, that completion of one round can be like a break, which becomes like a check for us. Check. Then during the break, we check ourselves. Okay, am I on track or I've got off track?
if I got off track, there's no need to beat ourselves up. I'll talk about later the attitude when we find ourselves of having gone off track. But the point is, come aware. Okay, come back on track. You know, I'm chanting. This is important for me. Let me come back on track. So that is one way. Another way, of course, if you're chanting with others and somebody else points out, no, you're getting lost. No, at that time, I said, no, I am in Samadhi. Mm-hmm. If we do that, then others can't help us. Yeah, okay, was I lost? Okay, let me focus. So through the break during chanting, that can help us. Through the somebody else reminding us, it can help us. And sometimes we may ourselves decide to create some, not just breaks, but positive reorienters, which I'll elaborate later. But say, after every round or after every few rounds, you may decide that I will recite one verse, maybe one verse from the Shastakam. It is about the glory of the Holy Name. And not just recite the verse mechanically, but try to contemplate on the meaning. This is Naam Naam Akari Bahudani Sarvashaktis Tatrarpita Nyamita Smarane Nakala Etadrishi Tava Krupa Bhagavan Namami Durdaiva Midrushan Yajina Anuraga. Oh, Krishna is the Holy Name and all different. Krishna is right now here in front of me. I need to focus. So this kind of uttering one verse of the Shikshashtakam, then what happens by that? That forces us to become aware. Oh, this is what I am doing. It's important. Let me do it well. So like that, whenever there's distraction, we can become aware of the distraction and then try to bring ourselves back to concentration. So as